As they are making their way out, I would like for us to open our Bibles, please, to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 11. Joy, it's so good to see you. God bless you. John chapter number 10. I'll read from verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of this saying, and many of them said, he has a demon and he's mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we go into your word once again, we ask, O Lord, that light will shine from heaven. Lord, let it bring illumination into our hearts, O God. I pray for a fresh anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people so that they will receive your word as it proceeds out this morning. I ask, O Lord, that you think through my mind and you speak through my mouth, and you anoint me afresh, make my tongue to become like that of the pen of a ready writer. Let it inscribe the words in the hearts of your people. Let it distill as the rain and come down as the dew, even the dew of the morning, so that at the end of today, the world will have caused transformation in our heart, will have caused an impact in our soul, change our mind, build us up, encourage us, strengthen us for the days, months, and years ahead. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people of God say big, amen. Amen. This morning, by the grace of God, we're going to be coming to a conclusion on the series that we started, I believe, about 8 weeks ago now, if not more, The Greatest Introductions. The Greatest Introductions. And today I'm going to be speaking by the grace of God on what I've titled The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Now, these are the I am statements of Jesus Christ. And if there is any statement that you must have heard me say again and again, it is this. That these statements or these sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were not mere proclamations. They were not just declarations. As a matter of fact, they are not just introductions, but they are invitations. Invitations. Of course, they are made as declarations, an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't deny the divinity of Christ as he introduced himself in various ways and manners. But more importantly, they are actually introductions given to us to invite us into a particular chamber, a particular room, if you like, in Christ. You remember that by now we have gone through all, about seven of them. I think there will be one that will not be able to go through, and that's John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Other than that, we've covered all the others, and by next week we are going to be starting a new series, the seminar. In John chapter number 6, verse 35, Jesus introduced himself as I am the bread. The bread of life. I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the door of the sheep. John chapter number 10, verse 7. I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11. And that's what we're doing today. I am the Son of God. John chapter 10, verse 36. We've dealt with that previously. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter number 11, verse 25. I am the vine, the true vine. John chapter 15, verse 1. We've dealt with all of them. And today, by the grace of God, we're dealing with I am the good shepherd. Like I said, they are invitations into a particular chamber or room in God. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 16, verse 19, it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Because in the kingdom of God, there are rooms there. There's nothing like a master key that opens all doors. When you come into Christ, you're coming into a big mansion, and there are rooms there. The interesting thing is access to these rooms comes by you holding the right keys. And that is why it is important for us to understand these introductions, because they are actually invitations to particular chambers or rooms in Christ. So what is available in the living room, for instance, you're not going to be able to access it if you stay in the bedroom. And the same goes if you are in the bedroom, you don't have access to what takes place in the bathroom or at the alfresco. You need to have the right keys to gain access to these areas. And that is why these introductions are very important for us, so that we will know actually how to have access to these particular rooms and chambers in Christ, because they are actually invitation. It's like Jesus saying, have you considered this part of me? There is actually another room here. I'm not sure whether you have gone to home viewing and then they say there is this room. And of course, the salespeople, they are very good and are showing you the same room twice sometimes, you know. And there is this room, and there is this room. And you say, wow, as you go from one room to the other, because privileges that are in a particular room are not in the other. So today, I am the good shepherd. Now, we've dealt extensively well with the shepherd, you know, because this is actually following what happened in John chapter number 9. In John chapter number 9, you see Jesus come and meet with a man that was born blind. And then Jesus healed him. And of course, they sent the man packing. They sent him out of the temple because they felt he was not supposed to be healed. Why? Because it was a Sabbath day. You were supposed to be blind. It's a Sabbath day, so you're not supposed to be healed at all. And then Jesus said, these guys are not... They are not good shepherds, you know. Initially, he said, I am the door of the sheep. And like we previously explained, that the door of the sheep does not talk about the door that we have here. It talks about the shepherd who guides what goes in and what comes out. We dealt with that extensively. The beauty of it is all of these messages are on our website, and you can actually have access to them if you want to. And then in this particular place, he's talking about the shepherd, but a particular aspect of the shepherd. You remember the door of the sheep talks about the shepherd lying across the enclosure as they go to the pasture land and making sure that nothing comes in into the sheep. And then in the morning, he will lead the sheep out as the door of the sheep. Now today, he's introducing himself as the shepherd, the good shepherd. Actually, the original rendition is, I am the shepherd, the good one. I am the shepherd, the good one. In other words, because there are other people who had claimed to be shepherds that were not actually shepherds. Now, and in verse number 12, the Bible draws a distinction between the shepherd and the hireling. Now, shepherds in those days are considered, shepherding business is actually considered a very dangerous business to do. Because you are exposed to not just weather, you know, unfavorable weather, but you are exposed to all kinds of dangerous animals. I'm talking about wolves, lions, mountain lions. I'm talking about, you know, animals that want to have the sheep for meat. But because the shepherd is there, they will need to deal with the shepherd before they have access to the sheep. Now, and the Bible here draws a distinction between the shepherd and the hireling. And it says the hireling, when the hireling sees the wolf or the dangerous animal coming, he leaves the sheep. But the good shepherd, the shepherd, will stand to defend the sheep. Now, in verse number 12, I will just read that. It says, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the shepherd, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Now, the way they do shepherding in the land of Palestine in those days is that the shepherd actually defends the sheep. He defends the sheep both at life and even at death. He does not just lay down his life to protect the sheep. Even if for any reason the sheep loses his life, he still does something to show that he cares about the sheep. Amos chapter 3 verse 12 talks about the shepherd going after the lion to get the limbs of the sheep from the lion. Even the hair of the sheep from the lion. In other words, oh yeah, I've lost the sheep, but you shouldn't have all of the sheep. I'm still going to go after you and take, even if it remains just the hair, think about that, of the sheep and get it from the mouth of the lion. He considers the sheep not just something he defends. He considers the sheep the offshoot of his life. Now, if you read that passage, what you will come into conclusion to, or what you will conclude easily, is that the sheep or the good shepherd means that the Lord will defend us as his people. That he's talking about defending the sheep, and you won't be wrong. You won't be wrong thinking about that as the shepherd talks about defending the sheep, because in this particular place, he talks about the hireling, one who is paid to look after the sheep. As a matter of fact, you will probably not even understand that the difference between a shepherd and a hireling until there is danger. The hireling looks exactly like the shepherd. He takes the sheep out, feeds them. But the only time you get to know who is actually the true shepherd is when there is danger. One will flee, the other will stay. Now, so when you look at being the shepherd, because these are metaphorical statements, you will think that it's just talking about defending the sheep. And like I said, you won't be wrong. But there is a deeper level to him being the shepherd. The deeper level to him being the shepherd is shown to us in verse number 13. And the question about defending the sheep is, why would the shepherd defend the sheep? Why would the shepherd defend the sheep? Verse 13 says, The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So the sheep is being defended because the shepherd cares. Because the shepherd cares. Now, so Jesus, as being the good shepherd, is talking to us today and inviting us into a particular chamber called a care-free zone in him. I am the shepherd, the good one. When you come into this particular room, you have no cares because I take up the care. I take up your care. Now, so it is not just about defending. It is about caring. Defending is the action. Caring is the state of the heart. What you see is the defense that is being put up. What is at the background is actually there is a care that propels the defending. So when Jesus says, "I am the shepherd," it is an invitation to us to come into a place in him where he takes over our care. You know the reason why? Because there are other things that you can do as actions to demonstrate your care. That does not necessarily mean to defend. I mean, if you care for him, if you care for the sheep, you will take them out to feed them. If you care for the sheep, you make sure that if they have a wound, you will take care of the wound. That may not sound like defending in the sense of defending against an attack, but it's a demonstration of the care that you've got for the sheep. In this place, Jesus is inviting you and I to a chamber, a room, if you like, in him, where it is labeled a care-free zone. Jesus is saying to us, come to this place and let me take care of your cares, of your worries, of your anxieties, of what is troubling you. When you enter into this place, I take care of you. I take over your care. It is an invitation to a carefree lifestyle. Note what I said. I said it is an invitation to a carefree lifestyle, not a careless lifestyle. You know, there are careless people who want to pretend that they are carefree. But by their fruit, you will know them. To live a carefree lifestyle simply means a situation in which you tend not to worry about the troubles around you. You tend not to be perturbed about the troubles around you. That's being carefree. To be careless is to live a lifestyle in which you disregard the consequences of your actions. You disregard the consequences of your action. People call them negligent. People call them reckless. You just disregard the consequences of your actions. But to live a carefree lifestyle is to come to a point where you tend not to worry about the trouble around you. And that's the life that Jesus has asked us to come to live. A lifestyle where you tend not to worry and be troubled about the trouble around you. You know, a great life is not a life without trouble. A great life is one in which you are not troubled by your trouble. Do you get that? A great life is one where you are not troubled by your trouble. In other words, you have taken time to enter into that carefree zone. And that's the invitation that the Lord is giving to us, people of God. He's not calling us to a place where there are no troubles. He's asking us to take advantage of a place in Him where you are never troubled by your trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says. The Lord delivers him out of them all. All. When you enter into this zone, people of God, you cease from struggles. Why? Because your care is being taken over by him that is able to take care of you. That is the shepherd. So the shepherding business of the Lord Jesus Christ does not stop at defending attacks from coming to you. His shepherding business comes up primarily as he takes care of you, as he takes over your care and allows you into this carefree zone. Now, you know, there are several ways that people have devised to want to enter into the carefree zone. You know, the reason why people go into things like drugs, you know, alcoholism. It's simply because they want to walk away from their cares. They want to have what you consider a carefree experience. And to have that carefree experience, they dose themselves. And they go into booze and stuff. And they go out of that zone. They move away from those care. But for a moment. And then they come back to see the mess, but this time the mess has become much more. And then they dose a little much more because they need to go farther from the much more mess. Are you getting it? And so when they have that carefree experience, it's just for a moment, sometimes for minutes, for some other times for hours. And then they come back to the mess, and it's now worse. But they have had a taste, the idea of what a carefree zone looks like, and they convert to be in that state. And so they keep dosing and dosing until the doses don't work. And that is what happens to people when you want to enter into a carefree zone without coming through the shepherd. Because only the shepherd gives a genuine carefree zone. You know, there are no fly zones around the world now. No fly zone, because whatever flies comes down. You know what I'm talking about? There is a zone in Christ called carefree zone. When you enter into that place, your cares are taken over by the master. And you need to come through the shepherd and not go through the other ways, because the other ways will only give you a glimpse, an idea of what it feels like. But it does not last, and it's not original. It's fake. Drugs, alcoholism, promiscuity. I mean, why do people go into promiscuity? It's simply because they want to have an experience of an aesthetic level of enjoyment. But it only lasts for a season. And then when they come back, they meet the mess. And that's why it is called careless. Careless. Now, it's just like you want to leave your house. I mean, some of us, many of us perhaps have pets, you know. Pets, dogs, you know. Cats, snakes, and all those, you know. you want to go to Hawaii for holidays, and you want to make sure that somebody takes care of your pet is okay. So you want to enjoy your time in Hawaii, you want to have a carefree experience. So what do? You look for a person, a responsible person, and you hand over your pet to that person. Or you bring that person to your house. I mean, there are professionals now that do the job. You go to them and you hand over your pet to them. And then you go to Hawaii. And when you are in Hawaii, you have no cares about your pet. Why? Because you have handed it over to a responsible person. So you enter into a carefree zone away from your pet. And you know that pet is likely going to have even gain weight by the time you come back, because somebody is taking care of the pet. That's carefree. Careless means you go to Hawaii, you leave the pet, hoping that the pet will survive. You get what I'm talking about? That's careless. And you know the difference between the two of them? Both of them have gone away from their cares. But one has taken the initiative of handling his cares to a responsible person before he goes away. So when he comes back to a home that is sorted, comes back to a pet that is lively. But the careless person, the negligent, the reckless person, has moved away, pretending to actually be away from the cares, but things are actually getting worse than he actually left them. People of God, we have been called into a carefree zone in Christ. And you have been come to a carefree life in Him. Do not be careless. Do not be careless. Now, this is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17. Casting all your cares upon the Lord. Why? For He cares for you. Casting all your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Casting all your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. That's what the shepherd does. Like I said, the defending is just the action that you see. The care is the reason, the motivation behind the defending. So, casting all your care, and today, people of God, the word of God to us is, cast your care upon Him. He is the shepherd. You are not even designed to take care of yourself, you know? You have not been equipped to take care of yourself. Why do it? You don't even have the capacity to take care of yourself. Why bother? Casting all your care upon Him. Why? He cares for you. He cares for you, people of God. Now, I love the way other translations put it. Let's see Message translation, please. Message. Translation. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7. 7 is actually the part I want us to go through. It says this: live carefree before God. You see that? He is most careful with you. Live carefree. Let your care be handed over to the one that is able to take care of it. Because He's most careful with you. Let's see the J.B. Phillips New Testament translation. It says this, the seventh part. It says, And that's the third line. You can throw the you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. You can throw the whole weight, not half of it, not a quarter of it, a whole weight of your anxieties and worry upon him. You are his job. You are his concern. The Bible says, the Lord, his mind is full of you. His mind full of you. You are his concern. So when you come to him as the shepherd, you hand over the care of your life into his hands. And he takes you into a place called the carefree zone. That is the way to live a great life, people of God. It is not the absence of trouble. It is the fact that the troubles do not trouble you. You get it? That's the invitation, people of God. And he says, throw the whole weight of you. You know, the word cast is being used for stones in the land of Palestine. And they want to, when they want to stone people, this is what they do. They pick up the stone and they throw it to the person. And it wasn't the stone is not to caress your body, it's to kill the person, you know. And then it hits you. They've cast the stone. Nobody goes back to take that stone and bring it again. Okay? It's casting. That's why when it says casting all your cares, it's having the picture of you throwing a stone. When it goes, it goes. It's not throw, pick. Okay? It's throw, go. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Yeah, because what many of us do is that we do throw, pick. You know? We come to him on a Sunday morning like this and just say, Lord, I cast my cares upon you. And on Monday, you say, still there, we are not doing... You're not doing anything about it, and we'll pick it up again. You know, and we pick it up. And then on Wednesday, when we discover that we're not being able to make any way out of it, and we come to God, Lord, just take again. Take the cares again. This has been our experience. The Lord is saying, cast it upon him. Throw it. You know, the word cast means to abandon without the purpose of returning to pick. It's total abandonment. You give it over to him. Now, I know what exactly you're thinking about, because now I've given you I've painted the picture of the Lord Zacchaeus, and you are there saying, preacher, I understand what you're talking about, but don't you think it seems as if he really doesn't care as much as you are trying to paint him as a caring person? Don't you think there are times in our lives when it does not seem as if he cares? And you're right. You're right. There are times in our lives when it appears it doesn't care. But that doesn't mean it doesn't. I mean, we are not going to be the first people that will experience that. Generations before us have experienced it. When it appears as if you are not being cared for. As if God is not even interested in your case. He's somewhere in Pluto or Neptune or Jupiter sorting some more important things than you. That's the way we feel. Because you keep casting it to him in your own manner, and it appears nothing seems to be happening. And we're not going to be the first people that will experience that. In Mark chapter number 5, I want to show you the disciples as they experience the same thing that some of us may be experiencing today. Mark chapter number 5. Or rather, Mark chapter number 4. Let's go to Mark chapter number 4. And I will read from verse number 35. On the same day, Mark chapter number 4, verse 35. On the same day, when Jesus had come, he said to them, what did he say? Let us cross over to the other side. That was his word. Let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. They took Jesus along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also there, also within. And a great windstorm arose, like some of us are experiencing in our lives now. No, chaotic situation at the family level, at workplace, in our career, with our relationship. Chaotic situation took place. And then the waves beat up into the boat so that it was already filling. And now look at verse 38. This is something completely out of this world. Now, but he was in the stern, what? Asleep on a pillow. asleep on a pillow. Can you just imagine that? The person that is supposed to be protecting you is asleep on a pillow. and they awoke him and said to him, listen, if this mimics what you are thinking, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now they were trying to be nice because in their mind they felt it did not care. Asking that question was just not necessary. It was supposed to be a rhetorical question. Do you not care? The way I'm looking at you, the way you are sleeping, you don't even care. You don't care. You don't care. and then the Bible says in verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And verse 40, you would have expected that Jesus would just go back to sleep. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? That's the question to you, people of God. What's your stress? What's your anxiety? How is it that you have no faith? You think with me in the boat that this boat will sink? The entire military force of Australia will not sink that boat that day. You know why? Jesus is in there. Jesus is in the boat. The entire forces of America cannot sink that boat. You know, the people of God, it was safer for the disciples to be in that boat than for them to be on the land when there was no wind. It was safer for them to be in that troubled boat than for anyone to be on the land somewhere in Perth enjoying his time. Because it would be more dangerous to be on the land when it seems calm than to be in a troubled sea with Jesus in the boat. Do you not care? Now, people of God, I know what I'm making it to sound as if it's so easy to not to care. The thought of not even caring is troubling for some of us. You can't even imagine not care. You know? As in, so not to care about future, not to care about job. I mean, the thought of it is even causing trouble for you already. That you can even come to think about a situation where you don't care. You know, it's causing agitation. But that is the invitation, people of God. It's saying, come to this carefree zone. It's in the shepherd. And when you get into the shepherd, you get in there. You get into that carefree zone. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now listen, even though I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That is a sheep that has entered into the carefree zone in the shepherd. Your rod and the staff, they comfort me. You decide to set a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And you know what I will do? I will eat. Why? Because you set it up. And you're there. That's the carefree zone, people of God, that the Lord is inviting us into. When he says, I am the shepherd, the good one. You know where God does not, let me close by saying this. You know why he does not care? Or why it appears he does not care? Because he knows it won't destroy you. He knows it can't destroy your current experience that seems so fierce, so frightening. If you would just stay with him in the boat, don't jump, okay? Don't jump. He knows it's not going to destroy you because it has not been designed to destroy you. You know, it says something in Romans chapter 8, just verse 29 and 30. Whosoever he predestined, he said, if whosoever he foreknows, he predestined. If he predestines, he calls. Those who he call, he justify. Those who he call justify, he glorify. The journey does not end until you enter into glory. You see the transition? For know, predestined, call, justify. But it won't stop. The progression will keep going. It will keep going, glory to God, until you enter into glory. Because glory is supposed to be the final thing. People of God, your experience will not destroy you. Stay in the boat with Jesus. And as you stay there, cast your cares upon him. Cast your cares upon him. And like I said, I'm not making it sound as if it's easy. It is a training. It is a learned process. But you have to start somewhere. You have to start sometime. Why not 2016 for some of us? Why are you making it a 2020 vision? It can start now. Because you only grow in this zone when you start. So you can start today. Just commit your anxieties and your worries into his hand. And like I said, you have never been designed to be able to take care of yourself. So why do it? Why do it? Sometimes ago, I was called upon by one of the nurses that we worked together, and he said, would you like to give this injection? Now, you know that nurses are professionally trained to give injections. Some of them give injections. You don't even know the stuff are gone into your bum and come out, you know. They are so good at it, you know. And I said, why not? Because the guy would just not want the nurses to give it and stuff like that. So I took the injection, and I did it my own way, you know. I'm not sure how it felt, but I did it. Now, I was able to do it. It was not part of my job description, but I had the capacity to do it. Okay? Put that aside. Caring for your life is not one of those. Now, another example, if a patient has cataracts today, for instance, and he comes to my office and he says, you know, I don't want anybody to do my cataract. I want you to do my cataract. I don't have the capacity to receive to remove cataract. So you can be sure what's going to be the outcome of that high when I handle it. Blindness will prevail. You know why? Because I don't have the capacity to do it. Okay? Now, there is one that is not my job description I'm able to do. There is one, it's not my job description, I'm not even able to do it. Caring for your life is not your job description. One, you don't even have the capacity to do it. So why try? Hand it over to him that has all the power to take care of you. He will deal with it in his own way. Now, listen to me, people of God. The reason why he does not seem to care is because he knows he's not going to destroy you if you stay with him, if you trust him. You know the financial situation is not going to be the end of your life. You know the marital relationship and the marital problem that you are having now is not going to be the end of it. If you stay with him, if you stay with him, if you stay with him. You know the future is bright for you. It's just that you can't see. Just stay with him. Because he was the one that wrote the script of your life. And he knows exactly what's going to happen. Now, there's this story of a writer who went into a theater to go and watch a movie. I think I must have shared it in times past. And this time, this man was in the movies, and he was obviously watching the movies with other people, but he was the one that wrote the script, right? And then it was one of these, you know, movie, you know, when it's going to be like they want to apprehend the star person, you know. The main actor, and then he will escape. If you have watched James Bond movie before, you know what I'm talking about. You know, when the guy will be in a room and they will shell the whole room with everything, you just see him at another place drinking coffee, and then they will not tell us how did he escape from there. You know, so when they want to, you know, apprehend this man, you know, the bad guys want to apprehend this man, everyone in the hall would like shout, scream, you know, terrified about it. But this man was in a corner and he was just smiling. And then it happened again and it happened again, and there was screaming. Some people were crying, you know, like it was, you know, some movies that you watch that it becomes like a real life experience. They were crying and there were tears, and then the man will escape and he said, oh. And then the next scene, the man will be cornered in a place, you know, and then exactly the same thing kept on going and going. And the man that was sitting beside this writer could not take it anymore. He said, don't you even have an emotion? Can't you see that you want to take the main man, the actor? You know, don't you have an emotion? And the man smiled. He said, all your gymnastics and all your anxiety and shout, I'm not troubled. You know why? I wrote the script. I wrote that script, and I know that I have made sure that this man will end in a scene where he will be drinking coffee. I wrote the script. People of God, the script of your life has been written by your maker. The reason why it seems it's not perturbed by your anxieties and your worries because he wrote the script. He knows how he's going to end. Stop your worries. Let us pray.